Money. We're going to finish out this area today on victory over scoffers. Jude 20. Don't forget, if you are memorizing the scriptures, get those into Miss Rose. She'll give you credit for that, and that'll be a blessing. Amen. And we should really diligently try to commit these scriptures to memory so that we can have something to guard against when the scoffers do come, because they will come if they've not come already. Jude 20, and I'm going to read verses 17, 18, and 19, then we're going to quote verse 20 together. 17 says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that they told you there should be mockers in the last time." Mockers, a very, very close relative of scoffer. "In the last times, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." And read verse 20 with me. "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Father, bless now the meeting today as we look at more about scoffers. Lord, as we conclude this passage, I pray that your hand would guide and, Lord, to give us more of an understanding for the scoffers, the mockers. We might be compassionate toward them. And Lord, recognize that you're coming one day and you're going to deal with those scoffers, Lord. And I thank you that we have been saved. Lord, now you want them to be saved as well. So use us as a light. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. Jude 20, he says down there, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. So basically putting something in your lives, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, notice what he says in verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. So basically understanding that God loves you. And basking in that love. Why? Because that love is the same love that people need to have and they need to see. That's the same love that you were a recipient of. Now, is everybody worthy of that love? We would say no. But then again, if you say no, then you have to ask the question, were we worthy of that love? You'd have to say the same thing. No, we really weren't. Amen. And so he says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We're redeemed already. We're looking forward to the redemption of the purchased possession, getting our glorified body. Then he says, and as some have compassion, making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And so there are going to be these scoffers and these mockers that are there. We're going to fill out Roman numeral number 3, get into this morning, and discuss some things here. Roman numeral 3 is victory through God's patience. Victory through God's patience. And so we've seen Roman numeral 2, victory through God's power, and then victory through God's promises, number 1. But number 3 now is going to be patience. By the way, God is a very patient God. And he's waiting. He waited for you to be saved, and he's waiting for others to be saved. Victory through God's patience. And then the promise of his coming. The promise of his coming. Then number 1, A1, according to his timetable. The promise of his coming is according to his timetable. Then number 2, the promise of his coming is according to his plan. According to his plan. Then B, the promise of salvation. We can have victory through God's patience, which leads to the promise of salvation. And those quick things, we're going to hopefully, by God's grace, finish this up today. But before that, let's talk about something here. We're dealing with God's patience. How many of you would say you're a very patient person? You're a very patient person. Okay, Tasha? Amen. Adults with children normally tend to be a little bit more patient. Why? Children give you patience. They try your patience. Amen. And so before my wife and I had kids, we thought we were very patient. I found out that we weren't patient at all because kids give you patience. Amen. They try. They test your patience, see how patient you really are. Amen. And if you would say you're patient, how patient do you think God is then? And ask this question, how patient is he with you? I always say, God, you've got to be so patient with me. I am not where I need to be. I've not arrived. I'm not what I want to be. I'm sure I'm not what God wants me to be either. And so God's got to be patient with me. Now, if he's patient with you and he's patient with me, don't you think he's patient for the lost too?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
The Bible is clear. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Think about it. He saved you alive long enough so that you could get physically saved. And so you were alive. Think about it. I'm sure running through your mind, you can think of countless numbers of people that didn't live long enough to get saved, no matter what age they were, whether they were in their 80s, 70s, 90s, or whether they were in their 30s, 40s, 20s. I'm thinking of one of my friends that I grew up with, Donald White. Donald White died at the age of 20 or 21. I had just moved out here to Arizona. I had just got married to my wife, and this was back in 1984. And then I got a phone call. Donald White just died. He got hit by a truck. And I thought, wow. Now, I wasn't saved at that time. But after I got saved, I began thinking about Donald White. Then I began thinking of another buddy of mine that we ran together, Dino. Gerald Williams was his name. He worked for the electric company, climbed up on the pole, and touched the wrong wire. 60,000 volts went through his body.
Wow.
He died at the age of 22. I thought about another one of my buddies that I went to school with as well, and he died of heart failure at the age of, I think it was 20, 24, 25. These are all guys I grew up with. And I began thinking, wow, these guys are dying. And believe it or not, it gripped my heart that, what if I die? Now, I still wasn't saved. But I began thinking about, what if I wasn't saved? This one wasn't saved. Now, I thought I was saved. I got baptized. I joined the church, and they basically said, that's being saved. You want to go to heaven? You come, you walk the aisle, you come down, you answer two questions. You believe Jesus Christ, Son of God. You believe God raised from dead. They say, amen. You can get baptized. And that's salvation, where I grew up. And so you go down the baptismal waters. I got baptized that day, that morning. And I thought, hallelujah, I'm saved. So in my mind's eye, I thought I was saved. So it wasn't until somebody hit me with that question, if you were to die right now, are you sure you're going to heaven?
Right.
And I couldn't really answer that question. I said, well, yeah, I got baptized. They said, that's not how you get saved. I said, well, I try to keep the Ten Commandments. They said, well, that's not how you get saved. I said, well, I do the best I can. They said, that's not how you get saved. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and put your faith and confidence in him. And it began to dawn on me that God had been patient with me all that time. So when you look at this first point, victory through God's patience, God is patient with scoffers. Now, by the way, how many of you were a scoffer before you got saved?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure several of you were. But now answer this question. Even though you weren't a scoffer, is scoffing any bigger than the next sin? So you may not have been a scoffer, but guess what? How many of y'all raised your hand saying you did scoff? You were in the same boat with us who did scoff. So you may say, well, I wasn't paddling the scoffer boat, but you were still paddling the sinner's boat, amen? And so whether you were a scoffer or not, amen, we were all in the same boat. And so these scoffers God's patient with. By the way, last week we had an amassing of people out front. How many saw the amassing of people out front? We got visited by the Pokemon hotspot. Is that what you call it, Shane?
Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go. So we had the Pokemon Go last week.
Oh boy.
And they showed up out front. They were all parked out in the front, you know, and they're all on their computers doing this stuff. And so I happened to walk out there and I thought, well, these folks are not here. I wonder what's going on. And so, you know, I walked out there and I said, hey, can I help you? You need some? Oh, no. We're Pokemon Go. And we're, you know, checking. I don't even know how they do it, but they were on their phones doing something, you know. And I thought, this is an opportunity to get them some tracks. Amen. So I ran back inside. I got all these tracks and came back outside and started giving them out. One guy was in the front seat. And I said, here you go. He said, can I have one for my wife? She's in the back seat. I mean, the windows were tinted black and I couldn't see her. Somebody's in the back seat. Amen. All right, here you go. And I gave some to some others. And then I came up to this one car. And this guy said, man, get that junk out of here. And I said, whoa.
Whoa.
And, you know, I thought maybe he doesn't really know what I'm doing. I got closer to the car. He said, I said, get that junk out of here. I said, whoa. I said, well, sir, I just wanted to give you an invitation to our church. I got problems with the church. I said, well, let's get past the church. And I said, let me get you to Jesus. He said, I got a problem with Jesus. I thought, my soul. And I said, well, sir, just try to be kind. And since you're on church property, he said, I'll get off your property if that's what you want. I thought, whoa. I mean, just accosted me verbally. And I'm smiling, trying to be the best I can, you know, and just praise God. And I said, well, man, he must have had a bad day or something. And I said, well, sir, I said, can I just talk to you for a moment? He said, no.
Oh, my goodness.
And I thought, wow. How do you handle a situation like that? What would you do?
Scared.
You'd be scared.
I'd be scared myself.
He couldn't roll up his windows because he was in a convertible.
Yeah.
So he couldn't shut me out. Well, how would you handle that situation? What would you do? Clearly, he's on your property.
Mm-hmm.
He volunteered to get off the property.
They were in the parking lot?
No, in the parking lot, right out front, all of them. They had all the, a lot of people had already left out from the front, and so they had all, one guy was actually parked right in front of the front door because there were no other parking spots.
Wow.
How do you handle that? What would you do?
You
meet somebody like that, and they approach you like that. Get that junk out of here. I don't want Jesus. Get that. I got problems with the church. Got problems. I just got problems with all y'all.
Yeah.
How you deal with that? Give me some suggestions. Tasha?
Maybe witness to somebody who's close by.
Sit here, somebody. Amen. Witness somebody close by. Amen. And by the way, after I left him, I did go to other cars, and the other cars did take the tracks with no problem at all. And as soon as the people that I gave the track to left, he took their parking spot. Diana?
Yeah.
You know,
I think I would just tell him, well, if you ever have a tough somebody, I'm available to help you.
Amen.
Hey.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? How do you handle a situation like that?
First of all, try not to get angry back.
Try not to get angry back. Amen.
Thanks.
By the way, are they rejecting me or are they rejecting Christ? Oftentimes, they're not rejecting me. Sometimes they are. But oftentimes, they're rejecting the message. And the message is just tied up with the messenger. Any other input? How you handle that situation? Rose? Amen. Rose said, wipe the dust off your feet and just praise the Lord. You got to keep going on. And you do. What else? What do you do? Are you going to meet people like this? Yes.
Yes, we are, Pastor.
Was he a scoffer? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
And probably some more than a scoffer.
Mm-hmm.
But does God love him too?
Yes, sir, he does.
Did Jesus die for him too?
Yes. Yeah, he
did. So, preacher, what'd you do? I said, well, sir, I said, let me just leave you with this. I said, God loves you.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we love you too here. Now, why did I say that?
It's true.
It is true.
Yeah.
It is true. But why say something like that? Jenny? He needs to know that he's loved. Yes, Jenny? Soft answer turns away wrath. Why else did I say that?
Leave the door open.
These are all good and all true. There's one fundamental reason why I said what I said. You think about your children. Did your children come out of the womb mad at God? No.
No.
Children don't come out the womb mad at God. So obviously there's something that happened in this young man's life somewhere along the line that has turned him against the church,
mm-hmm.
church people, against Jesus Christ, and against anything that something happened in his life. And that hit my brain that something happened to this man. Nobody is just belligerent for no reason at the things of God. There's always a reason why people are belligerent. So something had happened in this man's life. And I don't know what that is. And he's not giving me the opportunity to even discuss that. And so as Diana said, I got to leave that door open because he may let the next person in. Or he may need, like somebody else said, he may need help down the road. And he needs to know there's a church that didn't kick him out because of his belligerentness. There's a church that didn't return evil for evil. He needs to know that there's somebody that although he came off at me,
mm-hmm.
didn't come back at him. So there is a place that he can go to when God kind of clears that smoke up in his life. Because obviously something happened. I mean, folks, I was about from here to Jeff. And as I started walking, he said, "Get that junk away from me." And I thought, I think it's just. Yeah, I know he couldn't be talking to me like that. And as I came closer, he said, "I said," and I thought, whoa, he is talking to me.
Whoa.
Now, me being me, guess what I did at that point? Did I stop in my tracks? Me being me, no, I didn't. I walked right up to the door. And he's right there, and I talked to him. Why? Sometimes people just bark at you to get you out of their face.
Yeah, they do, Pastor.
I walked right past the barking and went right next to him and said, "Hey, look, you know, this is what I'm about, blah, blah, blah. I don't want that," but I didn't, boom, boom, boom. And I said, "Well, amen." I said, "You know, God bless you. God loves you." Mm-hmm. I said, "You know, we love to have you still." Amen. And I went to the next person. Why? Leave that door open. You don't know what has gone into someone's life to make them a scoffer, to make them a mocker, to make them so anti-God, anti-Jesus, anti-church. But I assure you, something happened in his life because people aren't born that way.
Right.
Now, maybe, and I've heard these stories too. I mean, by the way, I talked to this person recently. Mm-hmm. This guy, dad, was a preacher. And because of the direction that the boy took, the father kicked him out of the house.
Wow.
Now you say, what direction did he take? He got saved. Amen. And got in an independent fundamental Baptist church. And the dad kicked him out of the house. He said, "That ain't the way I raised you, boy. Get out the house." And disowned him from that day forward.
Wow, Pastor. Wow.
What kind of preacher was he? Yeah, exactly. And disowned him because he chose Christ and started going to a different church that was doctrinally straight. And so you never know what happens in people's lives. Amen. So victory through God's patience. Show you a scripture here and that I want us never to lose sight of. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I've showed you this before. And I want to show you again because this applies to the individual that showed up at the door last week with the Pokemon Go business. Now, Sam, do you know what makes the hot spot? What generates the location as a hot spot? Do you know?
The system puts different items that they're searching for in random locations, a parking lot, a corner, somewhere like that, and for whatever reason, they just randomly chose our address.
Hmm.
So when they get out of the car and they walk around and they try to find it.
Huh. Interesting. Because when I was at Pastor Bennett's church last year, the same thing happened. The parking lot was flooded with people. And I said, "Who are all these folks? Because they definitely aren't inside the church." He said, "Oh, Pokemon Go." And I think, okay, so I thought maybe it was just a church thing. They could try to generate churches to create strife or something. I don't know. Amen. Yes, Diana. Amen. Well, I didn't have any water, but I had the tracks. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I was wondering if the gates were locked, how were they going
to
get in?
Oh,
just the area. Okay. Amen. I didn't know how it worked. I just know that everybody had a phone in their hands and a bunch of cars. And, and I'm thinking, okay, what's going on? Somebody fire alarm, something? Amen.
Yeah.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And these are verses starting in verse number 9. I want us never to forget. Know ye not that the unrighteous not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's anyone that's not right by God, not have the righteousness of Christ. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, so, and you can add scoffers and mockers there and anybody else that's wicked. And he says in verse 11, and such were some of you. And so that's what we need to never forget. This guy, although he was belligerent towards me, I was the same way towards God.
Mm-hmm.
I really was. And God had patience with me. And God wanted me to be saved and get me to his son. And so we can never forget, and such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so when it comes to victory through God's patience, we had been talking about last week how God is going to, he has the ability to destroy, he has the ability to judge, he has the ability to create. But God is a patient God. He doesn't want to do that just right off the bat and just destroy people. Amen. Because of his patience. And so we've got to make sure that we leave the doors open for scoffers so that they can get saved. Now, by the way, raise your hand. Serge, you said you were a scoffer. Serge is saved. Tina was a scoffer. She's saved. Who else? Bev, you raise your hand. Somebody else. Rose, it was a scoffer. She's saved. I was a scoffer. Guess what? I'm saved. Yeah. Somebody left the door open for us.
Yes, sir, Pastor, they did.
And so we got saved. Now, some people closed my doors as well. Amen. But you still had some that had the door open. And so we have to make sure that we understand we were scoffers.
Amen.
And that we want to keep that door open. So, the book says this. It may seem odd to talk about the patience of God in the context of his judgment and destruction that we talked about in the last chapter. Yet Peter said the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some may count slanders, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is being patient and long-suffering and giving people an opportunity to repent and be saved. There's no coincidence that God allowed them to come into a church parking lot. I assure you, somebody read one of those tracts that I gave them.
Amen.
I assure you. Now, they may not have done anything with it, but I assure you, somebody read it. Amen. Amen. Churches that people are going to all across America with this Pokemon Go, if people are giving them tracts, I assure you, somebody in that group is reading one of those tracts. Amen. And so we've got to make sure that we understand God's patience is going to be there. And so we can have victory as well through God's patience. Knowing that God is patient, you and I need to be patient as well and understand that the door of grace is still open and will remain open until the Lord comes back.
Amen.
And scoffers are still out there. By the way, if this guy that scoffed and mocked and was abrasive to me is still alive, guess what? I guarantee you he's thinking about the words that he said to me and the words that I said to him.
Exactly.
I guarantee you.
Exactly, Pastor.
I guarantee you if he's down on life, he's going to say, man, that church guy told me that God loves me.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's true. That church guy was trying to give me one of those booklets. I wonder what was in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened to make him not want to receive that? I don't know. But I guarantee you something is going to allow him to remember that and replay it. To this day, I hear one of my coworkers, Jonathan Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear him just like yesterday. Dawson, you just need to be saved. I mean, every time I talk to him, Dawson, you just need to be saved. I mean, I heard that over and over and over. And it went to, I was here in Tucson, as a matter of fact, between 84 and 88. I went over to Europe, and guess what I heard? Dawson, you just need to be saved. And when I got saved, guess what I heard again? Dawson, you just need to be saved. And I thought, man, he was right. I did need to be saved.
Yes, sir.
And I remember that, amen. So, hey. Scoffers are using God's patience to make the case that he is not really coming again, but he is. The promise of his coming. By the way, go over to 1 Thessalonians here. Do we know when Jesus is coming? No, we don't.
No, we don't.
Is he coming?
Yes,
he is coming. Now, when he comes, will the scoffers be convinced? Who thinks the scoffers will be convinced? Most scoffers will not be convinced. But Jesus was on the cross. They weren't convinced.
Right.
Matter of fact, they told him to come down off the cross. Then we'll believe you.
Yeah.
He came back from the dead. They still didn't believe him.
Mm-hmm.
So scoffers aren't going to be convinced even then. Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. The promise of his coming. In every chapter of 1 Thessalonians, the second coming of Christ is talked about. Go down to verse number 10. Notice what it says here. And to, what's that word? Wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. By the way, you and I are delivered from the wrath to come. So God's wrath is not going to fall on you and I because we're saved. Amen. And what wrath is that? Anybody know what that wrath is? When is that wrath going to be poured out? Tribulation, primarily on Israel. But also onto a world that has forgotten its God.
Yes, sir.
And so the wrath we're not going to face. But notice chapter number 2. Notice verse number, I believe it is 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his, what's that word? coming. So again, the promise of his coming. We have this promise, and so we need to be patient. Jesus is coming, and the scoffers will have to deal with him. Amen. Come over to chapter 3. Notice verse number 13. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the, what's that word? Coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Amen. So he's coming again. Chapter number 4. And what do you think Paul, what message do you think Paul's trying to give to this church? Anybody got a clue? What message is he trying to get? Saying this over and over again. Well, no, these guys are already saved. Search. Jesus is coming, so be patient. He's coming, be patient. What are we talking about here? Victory through God's patience, he's coming again. So we need to be patient with scoffers, amen? Is it hard to be patient with scoffers? Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is, Pastor.
Don't they get on your nerves? Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. But notice chapter number 4, and notice verse number 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain until the, what's that word? Coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. And even in chapter number 5. And verse number 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the what? Coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So every chapter, Paul is writing back to the church at Thessalonica and saying, look, be patient. The Lord's coming.
Yes,
be patient. Now we're years later. Those guys have died.
Yep.
Is Jesus still coming? Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. It goes so far. Notice chapter 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And notice what he says in verse number 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be, what's the word? Revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So he's still talking about coming again. Notice verse number 10. When he shall what? Come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all men that believe. Go to chapter number 2. Notice verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the what? Coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Over and over again, Paul is saying, hey, look, Thessalonica, I know times are not easy. I know you're going through tough times, but Jesus is coming again.
Yes, sir,
he's coming.
Yes, sir,
chapter number 3 and verse number 5. And the Lord direct your hearts unto the love of God and into the patient, what's the word? Waiting for Christ. So over and over again in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians and every chapter, Paul is trying to encourage them, wait, 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 wait. Jesus is coming again. Now go to John chapter 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. What is the encouragement that you and I have? Scoffers are going to be there, but we need to wait on the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14, and whoever's there, can I get you to read verses 1, 2, and 3? Who's there? John 14. 1, 2, and 3. Sam?
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen. He says, I will come again. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. So we have the prophecy that Jesus spoke himself that he is coming again. Do we know when? No. But we know this. Number one, it's going to be according to his timetable. The promise of his coming is going to be according to his timetable. God does not measure time the way we do. Is that that verse in you guys' book there, Psalm 90 and verse 4? Is that there? Psalm 90, verse. Tasha, read that for me.
For a thousand years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night.
Amen. His return may seem long delayed to scoffers, but he is right on schedule. By the way, doesn't it seem delayed for us sometimes? Yeah, it does.
It does.
By the way, folks want to hurry Jesus' return. Some want to delay it. I remember one of my teenagers, she was an only child, and she couldn't wait to get married. And she said, Brother Dawson, Jesus can come back right after I get married and have my first kid. And I thought, well, I don't think that's his plan or his timetable to wait for you, amen. But I think you're on his timetable, amen. But most single folks that desire to get married would say that, amen, Tasha? She smiles. I don't want to answer that, man. Incriminate me. Amen. That's one of those things that we look at the return of Christ, and sometimes we want it to come back soon.
Yes.
Then other times we want it to be delayed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When we get into hardships and dilemmas and tight spots, we want them to come back. Amen. When we're having a great time, we want them to delay it a little bit. Amen. But it is right according to his timetable. Amen. It may seem like a long time, but we need to have faith in his timing as well as his goodness and trust that he's going to do the best thing. And by the way, his waiting is not wasted while he's waiting to people get saved.
That's right, Pastor.
Now, what is going to be the last person to get saved? We don't know.
By
the way, remember Israel?
Yep.
And Israel had to wander off in the wilderness for 40 years until everybody died off. Can you imagine getting down to that last person that was going to die before they could go in? And everybody's looking at you. You're the last person. You know, you're going around. You're, you know, 80 years old. When are you going to die so we can get in the promised land? Wouldn't that just burn you up? Everybody's looking at you to die. Can you imagine how it was to get down to that last person? And they said, what y'all waiting on? Waiting on you to die. We get to go in as soon as you die. Because what did he say? He said, you're not going to go in until all that crowd is dead.
Right.
Can you imagine being the last person?
Wow.
Can you imagine being the last person to get saved and the rapture happens?
Mm.
Wow. Who's that person going to be? I have no idea.
I have no idea either, Pastor.
I have no idea. But we know the promise of his coming is according to his timetable. And then the promise of his coming is according to his plan. God has a design and a plan, and everything that happens is working toward fulfilling that plan. Amen. No matter what atheists and scoffers say, the promise of Jesus' return is sure. Is scoffing and mocking going to make Jesus delay his coming or come sooner to stop their scoffing and mocking? No. He has infinite ways to stop scoffers and mockers. By the way, will they stop? Eventually they will.
Yes, they will.
Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day they will. Mm-hmm. He can stop every tongue. Amen. By the way, go to the scripture, Acts 2 and verse number 23, because we do have victory through God's patience, and we have the promise of his coming. It's going to be according to his timetable and according to his plan. Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. And who's got that? Acts 2:23. Can you read that for me? Acts 2:23. Who's there? Rose? Amen. Now notice some words there. Him speaking Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel. So in other words, it was predetermined that he was going to be here. It says, and the foreknowledge of God. So God already predetermined that Jesus Christ was going to be there. But notice what it says. Ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Did God use humans to fulfill his plan? Yes.
Yes, he did.
Yes. So who's guilty? We are, amen. We're the sinners, amen. God just put everything in motion. He knew, given the circumstances, what wicked men were going to do. And he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, and he's omniscient. So he knew what men were going to do. So he determined already, he predetermined this. He delivered Jesus Christ. There was already foreknowledge of God. He knew what was going to happen. They, by their wickedness, took him, and they slew him and hung him on the tree. Amen. But notice what it says in verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. So God knew exactly what they're going to do. So everything that's going on, God already knows. It's according to his plan. So we have the promise of his return. We have the promise of his salvation. And it's going to be according to his timetable and his plan. Amen. The promise of salvation is the last point. B. The promise of salvation, because humans were involved in the betrayal, arrest, and trial, and crucifixion of Christ, but it's all according to the plan of God. By the way, just give you a scary thought. Everything that happens in your life today, God already knew was going to happen.
Yes, sir. He does, Pastor. He does.
You're not going to catch God by surprise by what you do today. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Everything that happened yesterday, God already knew was going to happen.
Yep.
You're not going to catch God by surprise. On Monday, you're not going to catch God by surprise. He already knows what's going to happen. Who doesn't know what's going to happen? We don't. Shane, you got to go to work tomorrow? You know what your boss is going to do? You know what your coworker is going to do? You don't? You know what you're going to do? Shane said, no, I don't. By the way, you might wake up tomorrow, you might be sick.
Yes, sir.
You may wake up tomorrow, your boss may be sick. You may wake up tomorrow, your boss may quit.
Could happen.
You may wake up tomorrow, your boss may say, I want you to have my job.
Mm-hmm.
You say, no, I don't want that job.
I don't want it.
You know, we don't know what's going to happen from one point, but God already knows. And the scoffers are there, and so we've got to be patient with the scoffers because Jesus is coming, but also he wants the salvation of people, amen. Of the delay in God's return is an indication that he is working out his plan for the world. And Peter said that God is not willing that any should perish. By the way, because you don't know what's going to happen at your job, you're going to show up.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Because if you knew what was going to happen, you probably wouldn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Scary stuff may happen at your job.
Yeah.
Amen. But God is working his plan out. He didn't want to see anybody punished in hell. By the way, do you think God relishes in the fact of seeing people go to hell?
Mm-mm.
The guy that was belligerent to me last week, do you think God desires to see him go to hell? No.
No, he doesn't.
Do you think his parents desire to see him go to hell? No.
No.
You think his friends want him to go to hell? No. Not if they know the truth of hell. Not if they know the truth. And by the way, I don't want him to go to hell. But preacher, he was mean to you and said evil things to you. And it's not me that he's directing that at me. It's not me. And so we've got to understand that God is long suffering. He's wanting people to be saved. He's giving men every opportunity to be saved. He gave you and I every opportunity to be saved. And God wants men to come to repentance. I'll leave you with a verse here. Acts 20 and verse 21. Let's go over to Acts 20 and verse 21. Because when it comes down to it, when it all boils down, God wants people to be saved. Acts 20 and verse, is that right, 20, 21? Yes. I'm at Acts 2. That's not reading the same thing. Amen. Acts 20 and verse 21. Notice what he says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God, that's what God wants, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, that's what God wants. Repentance is a change of mind that results in an action of the will. If a sinner honestly changes his mind about sin, he will turn to God from sin. God's promise of salvation is evident, and God is patient. He wants people to be
Amen.
Saved. By the way, again, keep this in mind. Nobody was born a scoffer.
That's right, Pastor.
Nobody was born a mocker. Nobody was born that way. That guy was not born that way. And so God is patient, knowing that life has dealt to people certain things, and God already knew that, but they still have a chance to get saved. Jesus is coming back. He is coming. It's going to be his timetable, his plan, but also the promise of salvation. God wants men and women and boys to be saved. And we intend to be believers living according to the word of God in this day and age of scoffers. We've got to understand that God is patient.
Yep.
And God wants us to be patient.
Patient.
By the way, you may have scoffers in your own home.
Yes, sir,
you may have them in your family. You may have them as relatives. You may have them as friends. By the way, if they're calling yourself a friend, that's not much of a friend.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Amen. And so keep that in mind as well. Leave you with a verse of scripture here, and that's going to be Acts 20 and verse number 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is a memory verse that I want us to work on, because that, in at the end of the day, is what Jesus desires for you and I. To have towards people. It's giving them the opportunity to have repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, it is in our actions.
Mm-hmm.
Are you and I going to have belligerent people like that guy was to me last week?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, some way, shape, fashion, or form. It may not be that way. By the way, God knows what you can handle when it comes to scoffers. He knows what type of mockers you can handle. He knows what kind you can. He'll send the ones to you that he knows you can't handle, so you'll have to rely upon him. Why? It's going to take the power of God to save them.
Yes, sir.
Your power can't save them. Your words can't save them. They need the power of God. And so God is placing you and I in positions with scoffers so that we can give them the gospel. By the way, next week we're going to be talking about victory over family turmoil. How many of y'all have ever heard of family turmoil? Amen. It happens.
Amen.
It happens. By the way, you put two sinners together, you know what you're going to have? Turmoil.
Turmoil.
You leave one sinner by themselves, you know what you're going to have? Inner turmoil.
Inner turmoil, yep.
So now with inner turmoil that I have with myself, and then I get yoked up with someone else who's got their turmoil, guess what we're going to have? Family turmoil. You guessed it, amen. Is there any family without turmoil? If there is, we'd all join it. There's no family without family turmoil. And so we're going to be looking at that in the next lesson. By the way, we're at lesson 7 now, going into lesson 8. So we're over halfway done with the book. Amen. And these have been some very, very good courses that I've enjoyed myself. So scoffers are going to be there. By the way, if Pokemon Go is at the end of the service, get you some tracks, go out front and try to hand them out. You say, preacher, that same guy may be back. I doubt it. After dealing with me last week, I don't think he's coming back here. Amen. Unless he gets saved. We did leave the door open. Amen.
Amen.
So praise the Lord for that victory over scoffers. You're going to face them when you go to work. You're going to face them this week sometime. Amen. Acts 20, 21 is our memory verse. Father, thank you once again for allowing us to see your patience for scoffers, your patience for sinners, because, Lord, you are patient with us. Help us, Lord, to, no matter what they do, to continue, Lord, to exhibit that patience, that long-suffering that you have. Lord, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you, Lord, that you are coming again. There's a promise of your coming. And, Lord, thank you that when you do come, Lord, you're going to reward us for what we've done. It's according to your timetable and your plan. But Lord, help us to do our debt level best to give the promise of salvation to those that need to be saved, whether they're scoffers or not, whether they're mockers or not. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Help us this week with our scoffers and our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.